Chapter 23. Miller was still trying to blink the blinding dazzle of all that gold out of his eyes, so for a moment, he almost convinced himself it was an illusion. But his eyes adjusted, and he was still seeing the same thing, no matter how unbelievable it was. It was there. Sitting in the exact center of the far end of the room, on a raised dais, was the god Osiris. Not a punk in a suit, not a thug dressed up. It was Osiris, an exact replica of the wall paintings Miller had seen. He was larger than a human being. He held a tall golden staff and was draped in white linen. His blue skin, the color of the room's trim, set off a large, slanted pair of green eyes. Oh, and there was a beak and a feathered crest. For just as the original Osiris had been a hawk-headed god, so was this one. And right now, the green hawk's eyes stared unblinking at him. The head turned marginally, with the boneless grace. The head turned marginally with the boneless grace of a real hawk turning its head. Because hawks don't have bones? Anyway, and Osiris stared at Mara. Then the green, unblinking eyes came back to Miller. It was totally impossible to read any kind of human feeling in that face, beyond a kind of general hunger. Miller tried to look back just as boldly, and remember that he was, after all, that thing's brother. But it was incredibly difficult not to collapse into a heap on the floor. He felt his heart pounding, and he was unable to swallow. For a long moment, Osiris stared. Then, in a hesitant voice, with a powerful Australian accent, the god spoke.
"Brother?"
he said. Miller heard uncertainty in the voice and rejoiced. He had a chance. If there was uncertainty in Osiris, then he was faking it too. And therefore, he could never be sure that somebody else claiming to be the same thing was an imposter too. Whatever biogenetic miracles he had used to look like the real Osiris, the hawk's head, the amazing temple, all of it, Miller knew Osiris's claim was every bit as fraudulent as his own. And confronted with his assertion that he was Set, Osiris had to play it safe. And so Miller said nothing. He simply stared back, watching the other for weakness, waiting to see if the all-powerful Osiris would break first and rush to fill the accusatory silence in the room. He did.
"Wow,"
Osiris said, in that oddly inappropriate voice.
"Come to say for yourself, have you? Well, as you can see, brother, I am alive."
Miller said nothing. Osiris laughed.
"Oh, it was a right proper fuckover you did me, brother. 7 great paces, I was. It hot, too."
Osiris was now sounding him out, Miller guessed, to see how much he actually knew. The legend said that Set had murdered Osiris, his own brother, by chopping him into 14 pieces, not 7. Set's consort, Nephthys, and Osiris's wife, Isis, had teamed up to sew him back together, thus guaranteeing him immortality. But he had stayed below, in the underworld, and ruled the dead. His son Horus was placed in charge of the living. Miller knew he must finally speak and answer the challenge.
14 pieces, brother, as you know. And it was the price you willingly paid to guarantee your immortality.
The hawkhead nodded slightly.
True enough, brother. True enough. A price you have yet to pay.
He added slyly.
I have paid, Miller said. Betrayed by my own wife, banished from my land, forbidden a throne of my own. Been wandering, have ya?
The hawk sneered.
Well, now what? Come to grab for my throne again, is it? Well, have a go, brother. Go right ahead. Go on, try for it.
I choose not to,
Miller said. Osiris studied him for a long count.
What do you want?
He finally asked.
To speak with you about something that concerns us both. Alone,
Miller said. Osiris laughed.
Ha! Think I'm afraid? Is that it? I don't need the gods. Thank us for show. Mike the boys fail Yasla. I reckon I can handle myself.
I just want to talk,
Miller repeated. Osiris nodded.
All right then,
he said.
Take off, you lot,
he told the guards. The guards looked confused and hesitant.
Go on,
Osiris said.
You heard me.
Reluctantly, the guards filed out of the room.
Them too,
Miller said, nodding at Spider, the giant, and their other captors.
The woman stays with us.
Going up on me, eh?
Osiris said.
All right, then. Take off,
he added to the giant's group. The giant left quickly, willingly, with a worried backward glance at Miller. In just a few moments, the black door slid closed behind the last of the bangers. Miller and Mara were alone with Osiris.
Wild brother,
Osiris said.
Let's have it.
Miller studied the hawk face, wondering how to play his only card. But Osiris's face gave nothing away, and Miller realized he would just have to feel his way through this and hope he got it right the first time. There wouldn't be a second chance.
Maybe you've noticed that things have changed outside,
he said.
Out in the land of the living.
I've noticed,
Osiris said peevishly.
That's why I've had the boys out, scowling like, marking our turf, looking to see what's what. I noticed, mate. I surely died.
And then the great hawk head cocked at an angle and studied Miller.
What do you know about all that, eh?
If I tell you,
Miller said slowly and carefully,
I want one of your submarines.
A submarine?
Osiris said curiously.
What for? Why a submarine? Why not half my kingdom? Why not reaches, eternal life, all that, eh?
Because I can still reverse it. Keep these changes to the world from becoming permanent. And I'm the only one who can do it.
Are you then? The only one? Wow, well.
Osiris said, looking at him thoughtfully.
What was all this about being my brother, Seth, then?
I had to get to see you,
Miller said.
I needed to keep your men off balance long enough to get to you.
Clever lad,
Osiris said.
So, you're no longer climbing to be an ancient Egyptian deity, aye?
I'm no more an Egyptian god than you are,
Miller said.
Oh, course not,
Osiris said with a laugh.
I know you can see the advantage to getting your world back to the way it was,
Miller said with confidence.
All of this strangeness and uncertainty gone. Back to ground-level reality again. Your world restored to what it should be.
Wouldn't that be a passer?
Osiris said, sounding more like an Australian gangbanger and less like a deity of any kind with each moment.
But it has to be done now,
Miller said.
I need to get to California in less than...
He glanced at his watch.
Less than 43 hours.
That a fault?
Osiris said.
It is,
Miller said.
Or I won't be able to stop everything from staying broken up like this. So with your permission, let's have your men take me to one of those submarines. Unless you have something quicker.
Oh, I do, mate,
Osiris assured him.
Oi, absolutely do.
And he picked up a handle-shaped object beside him and flicked it into life. A 5-foot-long laser blade.
Nice, ought to do,
he said. He stood up and swung the blade.
Nice balance,
he said.
Much quicker, too. I'm afraid I have to tell you, mate. I don't bloody want the old one back.
Miller was stunned.
Don't.
Absolutely don't. The more fucked up everything is, the better I like it. Back home, they were starting to gang up on me, pull together. That'll never happen with this new setup. And if you say it's a sign, why the world over, that just gives me a big advantage. I might even carve up a bigger piece of this go-around. Now, I like things this way, mate. Really like them.
He stepped closer to Miller and swung again. Miller ducked reflexively.
And I can have some bloody twink tiptoeing around and Soy and I ain't the actual Osiris. Now can I?
Osiris took a huge step toward Miller and swung the blade. Miller shoved Mara hard to one side and rolled the other way. He could feel a hot wave of air slice past him a few inches overhead. As Osiris came back with a backhand, Miller dove forward, again rolling under the blade and coming to his feet on the far side of Osiris.
Acrobat, are ya? Good-o! Bear exercise for me!
He twirled almost faster than Miller could see, and, stamping in the style of a classic fencer, drove the point of the blade straight at Miller's breastbone. Miller dodged to the left, throwing his hands out to push the blade aside by reflex, and jerking them away just in time to avoid searing the flesh off his bones. Osiris chuckled.
Give it up, you spry bastard. You're in the city of the dead, remember? You can't leave alive.
He swung again. Miller jumped back, but almost too late this time. In fact, it would have been too late if he hadn't tripped on the step up to the dais and slammed flat as the blade hummed overhead. But now, sprawled on his back, helpless, it looked like it was all over. Osiris didn't pause to gloat. He lifted his crackling blade straight up and turned around without swinging, startled as a crash sounded behind him. Mara had grabbed up a ceremonial urn by the door and heaved it at Osiris. It had missed him, but it gave Miller a few seconds of precious time. He crabbed walked backwards, away from Osiris, and his hands came up against something. The golden staff.
Better than nothing,
he thought, and lurched to his feet, holding the staff at the ready. Osiris was still looking at Mara.
It's always the crockery with them, isn't it?
He said sadly.
I was married once, mate. Believe it. And it was always the crockery. Must be something that with that X chromosome. I never found out for sure with my wife. Not even after the desoction. And now this one. Beautiful voice, too,
he said, and turned back to see Miller with the staff.
Hello,
Osiris said.
Gave her a go, mate, but I have to tell you, it's useless. Can't kill what's already dying, you know.
And he lowered the sword, closed his eyes, and held his arms out in a sacrificial pose.
If I can't kill it, Miller said, gripping the heavy golden staff, I'll settle for beating the crap out of it.
And he stepped forward and swung with everything he had. Miller was braced for a bone-jarring blow. But to his astonishment, the staff went straight through Osiris and out the other side. And Miller swung with it, the force of the blow swiveling him all the way around and down to the ground, to a seat on the dais. But the staff had hit Osiris. That is, it had hit where he was standing. And it had gone through him like he wasn't even there.
That's impossible, Miller said.
Well then, you fucking well drained it, didn't ya?
Osiris sneered.
This is the underworld. My world, Spot. My rules.
He leaned forward and pulled Miller up by the shirt front.
And what I saw goes. All of it.
Miller was still stunned, but grappling to recover.
A hologram, that's all,
he thought.
That's how he manages to do it like that. Let the staff go right through him.
But he knew a hologram couldn't grip his shirt with fingers as strong as these were. Could not, in fact, grip at all. A hologram was a three-dimensional projected image. In practical terms, it had no mass, no physical existence beyond what an equal amount of normal light would have. So how was he doing this? Osiris gave him no time to think about it. He shook Miller hard.
And I saw,
Osiris said,
that your visit is over!
And he threw Miller against the wall. Miller took most of the shock on his arms, but still tapped his head against a golden knob sticking out from a mural, and he slid to the floor, dazed. He shook his head, trying desperately to clear out the cobwebs and think.
He can be a hologram, or he can be solid,
he thought. Osiris scooped him up and raised him high overhead.
But can he be both at once?
He'd managed to hold onto the golden staff, and as Osiris cocked his arms back to fling him again, Miller swung the staff hard at Osiris's elbow. The staff passed straight through, and Miller dropped right through Osiris's grip and fell to the floor with a stupefying thump.
He can't do both at once,
Miller exulted as he fought for his breath and struggled to regain his feet.
Open the door!
He shouted to Mara behind him. He couldn't tell if she understood, but he did not dare to take his eyes off Osiris.
Your rules. Is that it, Osiris?
Miller taunted.
Too right!
Osiris snarled and jumped forward. And Miller swung the staff and then leapt back. Osiris swung his blade, and Miller felt Mara's hand on his spine as he jumped back again. She tugged at him, and before Osiris could attack again, they were through the door. Miller tugged at the massive portal, and it slid easily shut on perfect bearings. He jammed the staff through the handles to hold the door shut and turned to Mara.
Let's get out of here,
he said. But she was looking behind him, her eyes wide with fright, and she called out his name in warning.
Millar,
she said, and he whirled back to the door. Osiris was passing easily, smirkingly, through the solid doors.
My rules it is,
he said.
Run,
Miller urged, and grabbing Mara's hand, he fled down the hall. They hurtled down another of the seemingly endless hallways. Over his shoulder, Miller caught a glimpse of Osiris. He was striding along in no great hurry. He seemed to be humming.
Watch yourself!
Osiris called cheerily.
Watch for that bump! It's a right Boston!
Miller turned around. Ahead of him, as far as he could see, the hallway was empty, deserted, practically featureless. The floors and walls were smooth, without bumps of any kind. Osiris was obviously taunting him.
He's so confident, Miller thought, that he's not hurrying. He doesn't seem worried.
He and Miller slammed into an invisible wall. Stunned, Miller staggered to his feet and felt around.
Warned you, didn't I?
Osiris called, much closer now. Like the one they had passed on the way in with Spider and the Giant, this wall was an illusion, showing an endless hallway ahead, when in fact it was solid and hard. Miller groped for the real opening and found it on the right. He tried to pull Mara to her feet, but she was unconscious. A thin trickle of blood ran down her forehead from where she'd slammed full force into the wall. Miller glanced at Osiris, only about 50 feet away now, and closing fast with his unhurried stride.
Here I come, riding a knot,
Osiris said. There was no choice at all. He couldn't leave her. Grunting with the effort, still wobbly himself, Miller stooped and got a shoulder onto Mara's midsection, lifting her in a fireman's carry. He staggered away as rapidly as he could, down the hallway looking frantically for some place to run to, any place at all. If he could find a room or another corridor to the side while Osiris was still out of sight around the corner, he had a slim chance of gaining some time. As if the walls had heard him, an open door appeared on the left. It was dark inside, but Miller lurched in anyway. Banged up as he was, and carrying Mara, he couldn't go much farther without a breather. But as he hurried inside and across the floor, the doors banged shut behind him, and brilliant lights came on, flooding the room with the same dazzling golden glow as the throne room.
Pikeaboo,
Osiris said from the far end of the room.
Tricky Boston, aren't ya?
He shook his head.
A little too tricky, if you ask my might. You'll come to no good end.
And before Miller could more than gape at him with despair, Osiris waved a hand.
About now, I should think,
Osiris added. The floor beneath them shimmered, then disappeared, and Miller and Mara plunged straight down into darkness. End of chapter.